Hallelujah. Well, we're going to start a new series today called The Lord Our Healer. If you can turn over to Exodus 15:26. Now, we preach or we teach on faith and healing continually, and we've been doing that for close to 5 years, 4.5 years, I think. And so there are a lot of messages regarding those things there, but I feel like we should do this on these Sundays, at least now. So we're going to be speaking on this and trust God that we'll get what we need here. Exodus 15:26. So if you want to go all the way back, so there's Genesis and then there's Exodus in the beginning of your Bible. Now, I just encourage you, don't gloss over this. Don't say, oh, well, I heard that. That's healing. Now, I mean, there is no such thing as, if you think you've heard something, if you think it's already something you know, it's a sure sign that you've let it slip. If you're not excited about it, if you're not attuned, attentive, that means that you've let it slip. Let me ask you a question. If you're married, and when you get to spend some time with your spouse, your wife, or you get to give them a kiss, and you're like, oh, well, whatever, I get to do that all the time. That's a sign that something slipped. Huh? Because when you first got married or you first got to know this person, this was not the way it was. Huh? It's not like that. You got to keep people apart when, you know, they're all excited about knowing the other person, and you know, it's not when they talk to you, they look for opportunities to insert that person's name into the conversation. Huh? You're talking about something else, well, so and so, and it just all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, who they're sweet on. Huh? They're excited. Well, that means we want to keep that spark in our marriages. Well, when you hear the word in any area, if you're like, oh yeah, I heard that 20 years ago, that's nothing. That's a sure sign something's died, something slipped. It ought to be fresh. If it's fresh to you, you're like, yes, give me some more. Amen. And so these things, you may have heard some of these things before. You may think, oh yeah, there's these scriptures. This is the word of God. You can't exhaust this. These aren't things you get used to. These aren't things that you know all about. This is the Word of God. You're not gonna know all this after being with God 10,000 years. You can't exhaust Him. You realize, I mean, this boggles our mind, but you're going to spend eternity with Him, and you're still not going to even, you're never going to catch up with Him. You're never going to know everything He knows. He's that big. So he is the Almighty. We can't even grasp it with our little finite minds how big He is. So when we're reading His Word, let this be life, because this ought to be fresh to us. And number one, we want to apply it. We want to know it. We need to have it working in our lives, not up in our heads. But I believe we can all come up at a higher level and have these truths be working and be fresh and know why we believe what we believe. And when it's solid in you, you will have faith and you will stand with authority in these things. Amen. If it's just something you heard and you kind of accepted mentally, you know, mentally assent to it, well, that's true. That's what my church believes. I believe it. But it's not actually affecting certain things that we can come up to where it is solid. It is affecting. It's something we're sure of. Amen. So Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26 is on your sheet in your Bible. It says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. He's the Lord that heals you. Now, I'm not teaching on the first part of that, but I have covered it before on Wednesdays. You might say, you know, what is this about? I will put none of the disease on you which I brought on the Egyptians. It all lines up with Scripture. If you understand by actions, by people's actions, they open the door for the enemy to act. He is the destroyer. But God renders judgment. And that opens the door, gives access for the destroyer to destroy. But I don't have time to teach on that, but I'm not glossing over it. I just can't. That's not what we're teaching on this morning. Okay, but it is on the Wednesday nights. It does line up. It'll say the Lord did something. Well, the Lord, He executed judgment. He rendered judgment. And things can happen, but people make decisions. But anyway, I got to move on. It says, here's what you want to get, and here's what we're going to emphasize, and you're going to see scripture after scripture about this. It says, for I am the Lord who heals you. And you have, just right there, you have to understand, it doesn't stand up to logic that God with one side is going to cripple you on the other side, says, but I'm the one that heals you. So you have to know, just on the surface, there's something more going on. God is not schizophrenic. Amen. He's not weird. He's not illogical. If a person can understand this, if you as, let's say your mother, your father, somebody you trust says, I'm the Lord that heals you. Now, deal with this, you know, debilitating disease for the rest of your life. It just is like, what? Huh? What was the first thing you said? But that's what people believe. So it does, the scripture harmonizes, okay? You can't pull one scripture out and just build a doctrine on it. The Bible says by two or three witnesses. You got to rightly divide the word. You have to let scripture comment on other scripture. You interpret scripture by looking at other scriptures, okay? You got to look at the Old Testament, the New Testament. We have to interpret the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. Now we're starting with a scripture here because God doesn't change, all right? The way He's dealt with men, the covenant has changed, but God never changes. And you have it on your sheet. Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His will doesn't change. His will for mankind doesn't change. He has not changed. The way He's dealt with mankind had changed. There's a different covenant in place than there was back in the old covenant. There's a new covenant now, and we'll talk about that some too. But His heart, the way He does stuff, doesn't change. The way He approaches things, He's had to deal with men differently. Jesus hadn't come in the old covenant, and legally He has to do certain things. Otherwise, Satan can come and say, you're unjust, you're breaking the law. There's no way you can just step in. See, there's a lot of things that people don't understand, that there's legalities involved. People say, well, why did this happen? And they're implying that God is unjust. If you knew everything that there is to be known, you would see that God is perfectly just in every situation. He always is just. That's why He's the only one that is qualified to judge men, because He knows everything that went into people's lives. He knows what happened. You don't. I don't. That's why we don't judge people. But as an aside, the Bible does say to judge sin. Okay? There's a lot of this don't judge, as if don't say what I'm doing is wrong. That's not scriptural. It says don't judge your heart. Don't judge a man, but you most certainly can judge sin. Sin. You see how quiet it is? People, well, don't judge me. Jesus said not to judge, and they'll tell you what the Bible says. They're usually talking about some immoral thing they're doing. Well, you're not to judge. Who are you? Christians don't know how. They're saying, no, you're misinformed. The Bible most certainly, you do call out if something is right or wrong. You don't say anything about the person. You can't judge a person's heart, but you most certainly can judge the action. How would you do that? By the word. If it violates the word, it's really easy. Anyway. It says, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. Look, in the New American Standard Bible, it says, for I, the Lord, am your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. What that's really saying there in the Hebrew is saying, I am Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah is what's translated Lord. Rapha is who heals you. That word Rapha, it means to heal. It means cure. It means physician. It means repair. It means to make whole. Now, what I'm just reading, this is just from Strong's. You can look it up. It's just what that word means. I'm going to say it again, though. You can listen to it on the recording, and you can look this up. So don't just listen. Let your heart listen. You don't got to take exhaustive notes. All the things I'm saying are readily available, okay? Sometimes we get caught up taking notes more than, I'm not saying don't take notes, but sometimes we get caught up taking notes actually than letting it affect our heart, which is the point. It's not to recreate, another volume of what is readily available. But it means cure or to cause to heal. It means physician. So you could say, he's the Lord, my physician. He's the Lord, my doctor. Do you think God knows exactly what is wrong with your system when you're having trouble? See, he doesn't have to guess. He doesn't have to run any tests. He doesn't have to get a second or third opinion. He knows. He can pinpoint it. He knows precisely. And he doesn't, we have medical terms. Who knows what his terms are? He created the body. He knows precisely. He knows how it got that way. He doesn't know just broadly in the area. He can pinpoint the exact cell. He can say exactly what's wrong in the genes. He knows. He's a physician. He's much greater than any earthly physician. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to happen. Now, you can get an opinion from somebody. You can read a book about what worked for somebody. Nothing wrong with that. What are you looking for? You're looking for a quickening on the inside that's bearing witness with the direction you should go. See, God knows exactly what needs to happen. You have natural resources. You have the Spirit of God leading you. You may have to tweak something. We live in a natural body. Okay? We don't live in heaven yet. Okay? You have different genes than other people. And they're not all perfect. Okay? That you came through a natural lineage. You're dealing with certain things on this earth. You got to understand there's a practical reality to living on this earth. And so you need your body is limited. If you haven't found that out yet, you can push it too far. Well, I'm just going to believe God for strength. That's if God told you to be a good steward and you just say, I'm going to believe him for strength. That's if he told you to slow down and you say, I'm going to believe him for strength. He was trying to get you to remain healthy by telling you to slow down. You can't contradict the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't say, Psalm 127 said it's useless for you to work so hard from early morning till late at night, working for bread to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. But people say, well, I got to go. Well, yeah, but then there's consequences. There's consequences for doing too much. We live in a natural body. You can break it. And that's not the devil. Might be the devil helping you. But some of it's just self-inflicted injury. We don't listen to, we're not trusting God. We're going too fast. So there is a natural side. Well, God is our physician. The Lord's our physician. You can go to him and say, Lord, what do I need to do here? And he takes everything into consideration. Some people say holistic medicine and stuff. Well, he knows everything about everything. So when he will pinpoint the problem, even if it has nothing to do with the symptoms. And it looked like on the surface, this is the problem, but he knows it was way over here. Yeah? So he is the Lord, our physician. It means to repair. What if you need something repaired? Can he handle it? Yeah, he can. To make whole. Get back to working order. Can he do that? Yes, he can. So that word Jehovah Rapha, or the term Jehovah Rapha, means the Lord who heals you. It means the Lord your physician, the Lord who makes you whole, the Lord who repairs you. Pretty good when you know who we're talking about. It's his heart that we be healed. Now let's just read some other scriptures. Let's actually turn to them. Some of these are in Exodus. We're just going to turn through a little bit. Go to Exodus 23, 25. This is one of my favorite scriptures on healing. I like to often will use this when praying for a meal. You may have heard us. I mean, I'll say that when we're praying for a meal. Everybody there? Exodus 23:25 says, "So you shall serve the Lord your God." How many people do we have serving the Lord our God? Huh? It says, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water." We need our bread and our water blessed. If you don't know, not everything is pure. We need to have our bread and our water blessed. He says, "He will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land, and I will fulfill the number of your days." Well, look at verse 25. "He will bless," so you'll serve the Lord your God. "He will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you." Won't even be in the midst of you. Sickness. Won't even be in the midst of you. Now, I could go into every one of these verses. If we need to stop, we will. But right now, I'm going to keep moving. We're just going to go over a few things, kind of just do a flyover. And then we'll drill down, you know, as we're led. Like I said, if we need to stop here and there, we will. But notice this. So we're talking, he's the Lord, our healer, we read. Here it says, "I take sickness away from the midst of you." That means there's no sickness. It's not even around you. Deuteronomy 7. Go ahead, turn over to Deuteronomy 7, just a few books further. You go to Numbers. And then Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Deuteronomy 7, verse 14. It says, "You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you." Again, we're not going to go into that. People, if they hate his people, they're already setting themselves up to be opposed by God. He's going to judge that. You do not want to be. Notice in the Bible, when this happens, when God takes somebody out, they're fighting against him. Okay? He doesn't just randomly take somebody out. It's a bad thing to be on the wrong side against God. You do not want to be found fighting against him. People say, well, look what he did. What? Look what they did. His judgments are right. And keep this in mind. When you read the Bible, always stay on God's side. He is always doing, see, he hasn't changed. He is always doing the most merciful and loving thing he could do in that situation. People that are ignorant, they say, well, look what God, look at the Bible. You see all the death and destruction. Yeah, look at the whole Bible and understand what was going on and what those people were doing. They were rebelling against God. And if they go ahead, you'll say, well, yeah, but they killed everybody. Yeah, and those people would have grown up and bring more people, and they're all going to be against God, and they're all going to meet a fate. There's going to be many thousands more, millions more, and sometimes the most merciful thing to do, these people were never going to repent. God knows that. He is always a loving God. Amen. You have to stay on God's side when you're reading the Word. We don't have time to go, that's not my subject. I'm not going to teach on it, but I'm just saying, this is not, we're not ignoring it. Okay? It's just that's not my focus. Okay, I understand those things are there, but there are answers. You just have to take the whole Bible together. You don't just, well, look at that. See, God did this. Well, yeah, but you got to judge it. You got to look at it in context and look at it with the rest of the Word and what He does and what He said in other places. So, you shall be blessed above all peoples, verse 14. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. So notice what he's saying. Again, God is not confused. He's saying, if you're going to serve me, if you do what I tell you to do, he said in the other verse that we read. Here he's saying, you're going to be blessed. And he said, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. It doesn't make any sense. See, he said, how much sickness is he going to take away? All of it. So why didn't, if people think, well, he puts it on people, why didn't he know that here? He's your physician, but you know, unless you're one of the lucky ones, your number came up and you get to die early because it's his will. Where is that in the Bible? People make that stuff up. They interpret things wrong. But what he just said, I'll take all sickness away from you. He just said another verse, right? He will bless your bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of you. Well, surely there's one in the millions that are Israel, where somebody had to have something taught to them. So they needed to be sick. Huh? But he's going to take it away from them. See, that's God's will. Sickness is not a blessing. Anybody have been sick and thought, woo, loving this? Huh? Is it fun to watch somebody you love go through something when they're sick? No, it's not. That's devilish to call that an act of God. That's blasphemy when you get down to it. And people do it in ignorance because they've been brainwashed, they've been taught by religion, but it doesn't even hold up to human logic. God loves you, so he's going to knock you in your head. You have to have some help to misunderstand that. To think that way, you have to have some help to believe that God's loving you. You know, it doesn't look like it. You know, he's making you suffer, but he loves you because people inherently don't believe that. If somebody were to come to your front door and tell you, I really like you, and they go and, you know, now give me your son or daughter, I'm going to break their arm. You would be shutting the door and calling 911. But God, people believe that about God every day. I'm telling you, people don't inherently believe it. They may believe it Sunday morning, but they're struggling with it. You have to have help to believe that God is doing something like that to you and at the same time loving you. The missing ingredient is there is a devil. There is a God of this world. See, so whole denominations leave that out. I don't know. I mean, he's mentioned. It tells us what's going to happen. In Revelation, there is a dragon. There is a devil. He is around. In whole areas of so-called Christianity, ignore it and act like there isn't. That's old stuff. No, it's not old. It's real. He is the cause of destruction. He is influencing men to rebel against God and causing all this junk that's in the world. He is death and destruction and disease, everything that goes with it. He is a wicked, wicked individual. And he is pointing his finger at God and saying, he did it. It is wicked. God said he's the healer. That does not mesh with he put disease on your husband, your wife. God took her. God did no such thing. God took him. God is teaching us something through this sickness. That is a bold-faced lie. God is the healer. If your doctor that you go to get well, also you thought maybe he's going to give you prescribe a medicine, and he knows the pharmacist, he's going to give you something that's actually going to kill you, you wouldn't go to the doctor. You would be like, you say you're going to help me, but I just don't know. You might actually take me out. You laugh. I know. But people think this way with God. They don't know. It's like roulette. They don't know what they're going to get. We'll pray. Maybe he'll do something. Maybe he won't. We just don't know what the mind of God is. Well, you do if you read the Bible. We can know. That's why he gave it to us. We don't have to be questioning. It's really not that hard. People make it way harder than it is. It's not. God is good. He's good. Now, anything that you would associate with good, he is good. In truth. Not something some people think are good, but that's actually wicked, which you have a whole lot of that today too. So people are calling good wicked and wicked good. Just like the Bible says. Scary. But God is truly good. And just basic good. Good that was good, when you're 3, it's good. When you're 10, it's good. 20, you didn't have to learn a bunch of stuff, and all of a sudden you say, ooh, what I thought was good, it's bad. We're talking about simple, down-home good. Pain is bad in the sense of, pain is neutral, but pain from disease is bad. You say, how is pain neutral? Well, you know what? If your pant leg is on fire and you feel a sting, it's good because you can put out the fire. Huh? If you're starting, you're cutting, preparing dinner, and you start to cut through your finger and you pull it away, it's good before, pain is good before you cut your finger off. Pain is not bad. It's neutral. It's just a warning system. That's all it is. But having to deal with pain continually because of disease is bad. It's not that hard. Sickness is not good. You have to have help to understand that sickness is good. If you think sickness is good, we've had help in misunderstanding that. I know it looks bad, but it's really a blessing in disguise. There's no such thing. That's not in the Bible. That's something somebody made up. God does not have to disguise blessings. He doesn't work covertly. You guys with me or no?
Yes.
But we got to just get it settled. He's our healer. He's our healer. He's the healer. But it doesn't look like, why didn't he? He's our healer. His will is for me to be healed. He wants me well. Yeah, but why didn't he? No, he wants me well. That's his will. He wants me to get over it. He wants it to be in my past. He wants us to be strong.
Amen.
That's His will. Yeah, but why did He wants me well. He's my physician. That means He's doing everything. He knows. He's doing everything. Just mark this. God is doing everything He possibly can that you will allow Him and that is allowed to Him on this earth for humanity and for you. Do you understand? I'm going to say that again. God is doing everything that He can to help us and humanity right now. Amen. He has already sent Jesus. And He will work in your life as much as we allow Him to. In our lives. But the fact is, people won't allow Him to. But He is not the problem. He is not trying to hurt us. He wants us to be well. Amen. He's the physician. Yes. Glory to God. Now, before I go on, I want to read some of these things. We're going to get into the new covenant, of course. But before we go, I want to read a few things. But I just want to read, skip down. Let's look on your sheet, go to Hebrews. Actually, let's just turn to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. So we read a few scriptures there. And somebody said, well, that's Old Covenant. That's Old Covenant. That's for the Jewish people. Well, okay. So we're going to get into this thing. I haven't taught this like this, but I want to get... we're just believing God that He's going to help us lay some of these things out. But look at Hebrews 8. And look on your sheet there in Hebrews 13 before you go to Hebrews... You go to Hebrews 8, get it ready. But Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what?
Forever.
He doesn't change. You realize Jesus has always been around. Jesus is the Word. He came to earth. He was made flesh, but He's always been. The Bible said in John, the Word was with God and was God. Jesus is God and He has always been. He has not changed. God has not changed. Amen. Now look at Hebrews 8, verse 1. It says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is, necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained, Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. I want you to notice verse 6. He, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry than what? Than those priests in the Old Covenant. He's obtained a better ministry, a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Now, let me ask you a question. Is a $50 bill better than a $20 bill? Huh? Is a $100 bill better than a $50 bill? That's because it had it. The $100 bill has everything that the $50 bill has and more. Huh? Is a $10 bill better than a $20 bill? No. You go to a 20, you know, you go to a 20 from a 10. I mean, if you go to a 10 from a 20, you just lost something. It's not better. Huh? If you say something's better, you got to make a judgment. If you weigh the scales, it means it's higher, it's more complete. So, you know, you don't say something is better when you're losing out on something. The Bible says here that Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant. We have a better covenant than those in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant had. It's better. Now, we already read, Jesus is the same. Now, as we're saying this, think about it. Your body that you deal with 24/7. If the Old Covenant provided healing for your body, which you are in every minute of every day, and the New Covenant does not, how is that better? Well, we're going to heaven. Well, thank God for that. Poor old God didn't know enough. Somehow he lost the recipe for healing. Jesus came down, the Son of the living God, and boom, can't heal anymore. In fact, we're going to put sickness on people because they're suffering for Jesus. That's a twisting of Scripture. You're not doing any suffering in your body of Jesus. Like we talked about a few weeks ago, there is suffering in the New Covenant. It's not the suffering so many people talk about, though. You are not suffering the flu for Jesus. It's doing nothing for anybody. Yes. Not helping a single person. You know how you can tell the right type of suffering? It's doing somebody good. You're putting your flesh down and getting up when you don't want to because you're going to go be a servant somewhere. You're going to help somebody do something. You're going to put your pride down and do something that you'd rather not do because it's the will of God and it's helping spread the gospel. That, you don't make no mistake, your flesh will suffer. If you're going to follow Jesus, your flesh, you're going to have, the Bible says crucify your flesh. You got to put it down and say, "Not, you're going to do what I tell you to do." But that's not the same as you're laid up in a hospital room with a terminal disease, and you're suffering for Jesus. What good is God getting out of it? What good is anybody on the planet getting out of it? No good. That's not what he's talking about. Not helping anybody. In fact, it's showing. People say, well, you're serving God and that happens to you. It's a bad witness to God. I mean, if people will say, God did this to me, what is the reaction for any sane person? I don't want to be near that God. He might do that to me. It's not him. We live in a fallen world. Sickness comes from the enemy, who's the author of death. There was no sickness and disease on the world until Adam sinned. The humans weren't made for it. It's a mercy of God that they died when they did. People lived 900 plus years. That's not a fable. That's reality. Our bodies have fallen so far in this world. We don't know what the atmosphere was like and what everything was. It's not the way God created it. You had the first humans living 900 plus, and then after the flood, it took a dive. And God said, they won't live more than 120. Look at what's going on. You see people just hovering right around. Nobody lives 150. They used to live 900. That's not a fairy tale. People say that's a fairy tale. No, it's the word of God. People were there, wrote it down, passed it down. People believe what they want to believe, but it's a choice to believe it. They don't have any more proof. You got to choose to believe certain things. The fact is, we've fallen. It's the mercy of God that we die. We don't want to die. We don't want to live forever here. We're not made. This body isn't made. We're going to get a body that's going to live forever. And it's up to the task. But no, we didn't cross into the new covenant, and all of a sudden, now you're a Christian, New Testament Christian, suffering for Jesus. And, you know, God, you never know. You serve Him, and He may take out your child early, 3 years old. Well, Jesus took him. Whoa, people believe it. And they're sincere. Sincere. What does God have with a three-year-old in heaven? Again, what good is it doing anybody? Is the net there positive or negative? People think they're showing their faith by staying true to a God that would do that. Well, I don't deny it. That is, you know, they're faithful. That's not God doing it. It's also attributing something to God that God had nothing to do with. God's going to kill a child. We put those people like that in jail here on earth. You do anything to a child, you kill a child, you're in jail. But God's above that. He can do it. We don't know why. No. We have a better covenant. We need to get this so strong in us that when any thought comes about anything that, well, God did it, we just reject it, say, nope, that's a lie. Going on. No, God is my physician. He's my healer. He wants me to be healed. Any way He wants me to be healed. He wants me to be well. He wants me to be strong. Inasmuch as, it says, now He has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. Well, what do we just read? He is our healer. I will take sickness away from the midst of you. It won't even be around you. Those are promises. We have better promises. Not worse. Oh, wait. Your body? Forgot about that one. Yeah, you have to be around sick all the time. But go into all the world and preach the gospel with your weak and sickly body. No? Nope. Now that word, let's go back. So then we read in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to say some more in the new covenant. But I want to emphasize that in Exodus 15:26, along these same lines. Exodus 15:26, when it says the Lord who heals you, we said that's Jehovah Rapha. That's the Lord, Jehovah. Rapha is a Hebrew word that means to heal you. This is one of the seven covenant names of God. Now I'm going to read them to you, and I want you to think while we're reading it, which one of them has ceased to exist in the new covenant? Okay? So Jehovah Jireh, Genesis, now we're not going to turn to these. You can make a note. You can look them up. Pretty easy. Google it. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Genesis 22:14. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide. Is He still the provider? My God will supply all your needs according to your riches, His riches and glory. Is he still the provider in the new covenant? Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. He's my victory. Is He still the victorious God? Or he lost that? No, He is my God who leads you. He leads us in victory. We are more than conquerors in Him. Amen? Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He is, let's turn over there, Ezekiel 48:35. Let's just turn there quick. So the Lord, it says in Ezekiel, well, if you can't find it, a little over halfway through your Bible. Ezekiel 48:35, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. He is the God, like we said, who was and is and always will be. He is present. We said that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is omnipotent, omniscient. We have the Lord, God Almighty. He is the Helper. He has not changed. Jehovah Rui, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. Has He changed? Is He not all of a sudden... He isn't the protector. No, in the New Testament, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to Him, and the peace of God. The peace of God will surround us. He is the Lord, our shepherd. He leads us. In ways. He'll lead us by His Spirit in the right way. He is our shepherd to guide us and lead us. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Is He changed? No, we have a greater righteousness, a better righteousness now. In Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, that's where that is. The Lord our righteousness. Jesus has been made our righteousness. And then Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Judges 6:22-24. We said in that relation to our shepherd as well. You know, if He's leading you and guiding you, you're going to have peace. So has that changed? Is all of a sudden the new covenant, He's not the Lord of peace anymore? So then there's only one more. So how about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals? That's what this is saying in Exodus 15:26. When it says the Lord our physician, that's what it's saying. So is that the only one that somehow became obsolete in the new covenant? Huh? Well, that's just old covenant. Okay. How about peace? How about banner? Now, how about these other ones? Are they, which one? Well, no, those are, how are they different? How are they different? We read the Bible, or we read that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did not change. See, men make this up. You read these other ones, oh, yes, 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 our peace, yes, yes. What about healer? Well, that's different. How's it different? How's it different? It's not different. We said we're in a better covenant. Established on better promises. And once you turn over to Romans 1, verse 16, you'll read a few of these verses. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Actually, you stay there and just look on your sheet before that. I wanted to say something and then I'll say this. Exodus 15, look at your sheet, Exodus 15, verse 1. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed glorious. You guys have that one, or did I not? Is it not on your sheet? It's on there. Okay. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Now that word there for salvation, it means deliverance. It means health. It means help. It means salvation. It means to save. It means saving health. It means welfare. Salvation. Now look at what we just said to turn to, Romans 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now that word salvation in the Greek, so the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, New Testament is Greek, but here, that word, soteria, means to deliver, it means health, it means salvation, it means save, it means saving. There's a note in the Scofield reference Bible, says the Greek and Hebrew, and you can see this from what we're reading, the Greek and Hebrew words translated salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and health. We're saved. See, people just think we're saved. They think I'm going to heaven. That's not all it means. Salvation, we just read that idea in the Old Testament. We just read what it means, this word in the New Testament, deliverance. Look at it again, or listen to it again. It means to rescue, safe. It means safety, physically or morally. It means to deliver. Translated deliver, translated health, translated salvation, save, saving. See, when we talk about saving, it's not just fire insurance. We're going to heaven. We avoided hell. Thank God for it, but it's so much more than that. God is our rescuer. He took us. All the devil tried to steal from mankind has been restored through Jesus. Our physical bodies, when we took communion, his body was broken for us. That's part of salvation. It's in the same package that the recreation of your spirit is in. That's why when we're taking communion, we're taking the wafer and we're taking the juice. The body, whole, and you whole spiritually, you right with God. It's salvation is the whole package. It's being whole. It's being healthy. It's being sound. That's salvation in the new covenant, and it's all over in the new covenant. When you read salvation, you're not talking about just being born again. No, God is our healer. He always has been, and he is in the new covenant. He's our healer. Now, let me read a couple more scriptures in closing. There's so much here, and I believe we'll get into some of these things probably in more detail. But just to complete this thought, let's for the sake of time, let's look at Galatians 3:13 on your sheet. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive this promise of the Spirit through faith. See, the blessing of Abraham might come on us who were not natural lineage of Abraham, but we might come on, that promise might come to us, how? Through Jesus. Some people say, well, that's only for the Jews. Well, what do you mean? Look at verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. What's Abraham's seed? That would be Jewish people. Are you talking about naturally? Are you talking about spiritually? See, we're Jewish spiritually. We are heirs spiritually. Verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Amen. We're heirs according to the promise. We are. See, we're just hitting this a number of ways. God has not changed. His names have not changed. His character has not changed. We're in a better covenant than the old covenant was. And Christ, through Christ, we have the blessings of Abraham. And we're redeemed from the curse. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at, then one more, James 5:14. 5:14. James 5:14. Go ahead, look on your sheet. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. See, that's in the new covenant. What's the first sentence? Is anyone among you sick? And then what does it tell us to do? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. If it wasn't God's will for that person to be healed, you're making an error by, if you say, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders. Well, if it's God's will for certain people to be sick, you can't consistently use this verse. Right. What if the person is supposed to be sick? It doesn't, there's no indication of that whatsoever here. Huh? It says, if anyone is among you sick, it doesn't say in parentheses, unless you're one of the ones that God has ordained because he's teaching you something, this doesn't apply to you. Now, keep reading. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, if any. And you'll see this over and over. Jesus healed all. All that came to him were healed. He didn't say, but. Well, if you're one of the special cases, where are these special cases? And this is New Covenant. Is anybody dispute that James is in the New Covenant? So why didn't he make an exception? Because God has not changed. God is still Jehovah Rapha. He is still in the healing business. He never went out of it. Those were men's ideas. We own healing. It's our right. Amen. And it's not something we have to work for or try real hard for. We have to know that it's ours and act on that knowledge. Amen. We have to know that God's name is healing. Amen. He said, let him call for elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is our physician. The Lord is our healer. Always has been. Hallelujah. We have that knowledge. We can say, Lord, this is part of our covenant. Lord, this is part of the promises. You're our healer. Amen. So when you go back, and we're going to, I believe, we'll just let the Lord lead us. But as we go through these different verses, we have a lot of them there that we didn't touch, but just to kind of just encapsulate, as we're looking at these verses, you see something in the Old Covenant, you can say, that's mine. If it applies to healing, oh, that's mine. I know God, he's just showing another part of his character, and that he heals. He says he heals all, his word is healing, he himself took our infirmities. You see these things, you're saying it's all on the same theme. He's always been the healer, and it belongs to me. Any thought that says, well, that's just for someone else. No, we need to know. No, that's me. That's been bought and paid for.